Anybody here ever heard of the millennium? The millennium? Mr. Ham? Okay. Person says, "Oh, I'm so afraid, Pastor, that the world's going to come to an end. It's going to come to an end. My child will not grow up to be able to see and to do things that I've done because the world's going to come to an end." Well, I want to lead you through some scriptures this morning, talking to you about the millennium, to tell you that what you hear people saying, "Oh, there's going to be a great Holocaust in the Middle East, that nuclear war is going to be unleashed upon mankind, and that the world's going to come to an end, and it's going to come just right now." Well, according to the Word of God, that cannot happen for at least 1,007 years. 1,007 years from now. And that's just upon one interpretation. What I say to you this morning regarding end time events about the millennium is not to be taken dogmatic, that is to say it's going to be this way, because I don't have all the answers and neither do you. So we can't be dogmatic when we talk about the end time events. But we can look at the scripture and see what it says and let you know what some people do believe. Now the word millennium comes from two Latin words, milli meaning 1,000 and aeon meaning year, 1,000 years. In the Word of God, the term millennium is only mentioned 6 times, and it's in Revelation chapter 20. If you have your Bible and you'll turn to Revelation 20, we will read here what it has to say about this millennium. And I want to talk to you about what's going to happen during the millennium, conditions during this time. And again, there are many views, and there are many views within the views. While you're turning to Revelation 20, just let me say that before this millennium comes, this great reign of peace on earth by Jesus himself, there are some things that have got to happen. For example, the rapture has got to take place. Now, you've heard about the rapture, but in reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the words are like this: "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another." So the rapture has got to take place before the tribulation. The rapture's got to take place before the millennium. Following the rapture, you've got the tribulation of 7 years, which have to take place before the millennium. And then you've got the second coming of Jesus. At the rapture, the saints are caught up to him, to meet him in the cloud. But at the second coming, like the first coming, he comes to this earth in bodily form. Jesus, the Christ. And then starts the millennium. Now, in Revelation 20, here's how it reads: "I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now let me very quickly say here that when we talk about the millennium, Christian people are divided into different schools of thought, and they are called the post-millennialists, the amillennialists, and the pre-millennialists. And some churches make great issues of these points of doctrine, even to the extent of saying, if you don't believe the way I believe, then you can't have fellowship with us. Other churches, like the community church, doesn't make a hill of beans what you believe, as long as you believe something. You got to believe something. Now, the amillennialists believe that what I just read is all a figure of speech. The 1,000 years is just figuratively speaking. The premillennialists say that it is literal. You take the Bible at its word, and it means what it says, and it says what it means. Jesus is going to come. He is going to set up a kingdom on this earth, and it's going to be prior to that the beginning of this 1,000-year reign of Jesus. That's called the premillennialist view. The postmillennialist view say everything is okie-dokie. It's getting better and better and better. And then when it reaches everything A-OK, then Jesus is going to come again. Well, we are divided this day, perhaps, against how it's going to be. I don't need to tell you that I don't believe things are getting better and better. I think things are getting worse and worse. And of course, that's what the Bible says. I believe that Jesus is going to come on this earth just like he came on the earth before. But when he comes to set up this kingdom, there are some things that have to happen. And this is what happens. Chapter 20, Revelation. An angel comes down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he lays hold on the dragon. Now, this is like, none of you have aliases, I'm sure, but a lot of people in the country have aliases. And you go to the post office, you can see their picture and their aliases. The scriptures listed here are giving aliases of Satan. An old serpent, the devil, Satan, these are all aliases of the same person. And he is bound in the bottomless pit. Now you're saying, do you mean to tell me that an angel is going to come and have a chain and take a chain and bind Satan? How could there be a chain big enough to bind Satan? How big would the links be? Well, this is all in speculation. I believe that if God made Satan as an angel of light and he rebelled, God can also make what is necessary to bind him up. Now, prior to this time, the false prophet, the Antichrist, had been thrown into the lake of fire. Now, the angel comes with the key to the bottomless pit. And this bottomless pit has a seal, and it's unsealed. And Satan, who is the author of all the corruption and all of the misery in this world today, is thrust into the bottomless pit. The lid is placed over. The lock is in place. And Jesus comes to this earth. And since Jesus is here, we call it the millennium because Satan, who is the serpent and the dragon, Satan who is as a roaring lion going around seeking whom he may devour, is now bound up. And so you have, as long as he's bound, you have that length of time in perfect, well, it's almost heaven. And it's a period of 1,000 years. And John goes on to say, now after he's there for 1,000 years, he's going to be loosed for a little season. Now we'll come back to that in just a moment. Verse 4, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of men that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. This indicates that at the first resurrection, we've got the righteous. We who've gone, like all of us, will have died. Then we would be resurrected. But the wicked people who did not believe in Jesus would stay in their graves for a period of 1,000 years and then come forth in that second resurrection. That's why he says in verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years." You will be priest with God and reign with God, Son Christ, for 1,000 years. "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever." So here's the picture. We've got Satan bound for 1,000 years. We've got Jesus reigning with you for 1,000 years in Jerusalem. Now, what are the conditions of earth during that time, according to God's word? Well, first of all, man's sinful nature will still be in effect. You can't take man's sinful nature out of him. Satan is bound. But you see, we are victims of the fall. And as a result of that, we retain our former influences and the former power that we have toward sin and evil. There still is the corrupt passions in mankind, in the human heart. There's still corruption in the character of man. And even though Jesus is reigning and you are reigning with him as saints, and he's there in the New Jerusalem, he's there in Jerusalem, the other people who are not completely sold out to Jesus have a sin nature. Even the people who are Christians have the sin nature like we have today. Though greatly restrained, and though there will be a prevalence of righteousness prevailing, remember that the race is fallen. Remember that the race that we live in is fallen right now. And even then, if the restraint should be taken away like it will be with Satan in the bottomless pit, the restraint is taken away, we act out our fallen nature. We just act out the fallen nature. So, conditions during the millennium. First of all, Satan is bound. Secondly, we have a sinful nature still existing. Three, mankind will make advancements like we have never seen before. You think of the advancements in the last 1,000 years. Think what it would be in the next 1,000 years of the advancements that mankind make. Prolonged life. And I'm not going to read these scriptures, but I'll just make the statements, and I will just tell you that in Isaiah 65, we have prolonged life. We have a great increase in population. Yes, Jesus is there, you're there, but the rest of the nations, as well as the people there, they are living on this earth, and there's an increase in population. Wars have ceased, you will remember, the Bible says, and peace is reigning, but there is a difference in the aspect of people's living. Isaiah 2, there is a difference. Remember, there will still be on earth during this millennium the remains of wickedness in the human heart. And while there is peace prevailing, there's still that evil nature. There still is a tendency to sin in the human soul. That is why when Satan is released, as it says here, for a little season, then it is easy to gather those people around the world in the form of Gog and Magog who have said, well, you know, I like it the way it is, but there's still in me this rebellion. I just am still rebelling against Jesus. And so those people will quickly be deceived. And Satan can quickly grab them. And then they will go marching toward Jerusalem. And from all corners of the earth, we just read, they will come. But then. Well, what then? 2 Peter tells us what's going to happen. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And there will be total destruction, and then we've got the new heaven and the new earth and the heavenly city coming down. What's going to happen? Well, we as saints are going to have part in ruling as kings and priests. The world capital will be in Jerusalem. The judgment of the living nations will have been determined by Matthew 25, and those worthy of entrance into the kingdom will have been set in place. And all nations will be required to send representatives once a year to Jerusalem. A river will flow out of Jerusalem. It will part in two directions. One will go to the Mediterranean, the other will go to the Dead Sea. And according to the Word of God, the Dead Sea will now become alive with fish. And everything around the Dead Sea will become alive. Isaiah 32, Isaiah 11, Isaiah 35 speak of all these things. Animal nature will be changed. Great highways will cover the earth. And the waste places of the earth will be restored to usefulness like never before. Well, these are some of the things that happened during this millennium. And then there is the judgment. And then you are with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Satan is thrown into the pit. And the word is here, forever and forever and forever he is there. And all those that follow Satan are with him forever and forever and forever. Those that follow Jesus are with him for eternity. And it's impossible to conceive of that state where there is no corrupt nature, because this has been left behind. And there is no Satan. There is no deceiver. There is no one to come with his demons to control and to cause conflict. As today, you're with him. And we will reign with him forever and ever and ever. And you think the millennium is long for 1,000 years. Well, eternity will just go on and on and on and on. And praise God, if you believe in Jesus, you will have a part in that. Ever and ever and ever with Jesus. Father, I thank you that there is going to come a time when every promise in the Word of God is going to be fulfilled. And the promise that says that if you believe in Jesus, you will never die. You will never die. You will live with Him forever and ever. I thank you, Lord, that you saw fit to send Jesus. That He saw fit to give His life as a ransom and as an atonement for sin. And I thank you that we, when we want to, can come to Jesus at the foot of the cross and accept what he has for us. There are many questions that many have about what's going to happen in the future. The disciples came and said, "When will it all happen?" And Jesus said, "Nobody knows. Only the Father in heaven knows." And in his time, everything promised will come to pass. I thank you, Father, that we can have part in the kingdom even now. And for we who are here this day, who are believers in Jesus, I thank you and I praise you that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.